Hi there, beloveds. I want to talk to you today about a word you've maybe never heard of, or maybe you have. It's called Anamkara. Anamkara is the Celtic concept of soul friends. That's what it literally means, soul friend. Irish author John O'Donohue wrote about this in his book, Anamkara, and he talks about how in the Celtic tradition, soul friends are considered an essential and integral part of spiritual development. Soul friends are pretty much exactly how they sound, friends who deepen and strengthen our soul, our faith, who walk alongside us, who know us and see us maybe more deeply than others, and who are willing to get more deep than others with us in life and faith conversations. So while this might be a new term for you, Anamkara, and it's definitely not a word you'll find in scripture, it's also not a new concept, and it shows up in scripture. I think we see a lot of soul friends throughout the Bible as people accompany one another through life and faith. A couple of examples. You have David. We know him as King David usually, but before that, he was David. He was going up against Goliath and he killed him. And at the same time, King Saul, his son Jonathan, was also fighting against the Philistines, which Goliath was part of that community. And when Jonathan heard about what happened with David and Goliath, he took an instant liking to David. Hopefully, not just because he was a murderer, but I think because there was sort of this kindred spirit and understanding of going up against a force together. And so in 1 Samuel, we hear this. When David had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was bound to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. Oh, holy cow. We don't hear people talk like that a lot, especially men in our culture, quite frankly. And so I love this first soul friendship here between David and Jonathan. There is a deep, deep admiration and love and connection, so much so that they make covenant together. We also have Ruth and Naomi. Ruth is a woman who was widowed, and her mother-in-law is Naomi. And so Naomi lost her sons, Ruth's husband included. And she tells Ruth at this time to go back to her people, go back to where she's going to be supported. And Ruth says no. She chooses to stay with her mother-in-law so that there can be some mutual support rather than heading back to her community and her people. This is a beautiful story that people hear often, but it's especially noteworthy because to stay in a foreign land without the support of a man from her family was to mean that she was truly without a safety net because women in that time didn't have rights unless they were connected to a man. And so Ruth intentionally chose to stay in a place that wasn't necessarily secure in a lot of ways to support Naomi. And I think there's a beautiful soul friendship there. If we look in the Gospel of Mark, we hear of a story of somebody who is differently abled. We don't necessarily know what all was going on in his life, but we know that he couldn't walk. And Jesus is speaking in a house, and the house is packed. It's super crowded. And this person desperately wants to get to Jesus because he knows there's healing there, there's power there, there's something remarkable there. And he can't get into the house. And so his friends get up on the roof and dig a hole and cut a hole. I picture them down on their knees, digging through the clay and the dirt, and make a hole, and they lower their friend down on the mat to Jesus' presence. I love this. These are soul friends. These are people who will just do whatever it takes to get their friend to Jesus. And no doubt there's mutual benefit in this friendship. I don't think it's a one-way street. There's something clearly powerful there that they're willing to do this for their friend. And of course, he finds healing, not just physical, but a really truly whole-bodied healing as he encounters Jesus because of their love for him. There's all these ideas of soul friendship throughout scripture, but even at a more basic level, We hear Jesus sending people out in pairs when it's time for ministry. He doesn't send them out alone. He knows the importance of having another person, another body, somebody else who's in it with you and understands, or at least will attempt to understand. I love that Jesus sends people out in pairs so that they can go do ministry together. I have my own Anamkara in my life. In fact, I had a couple of friends several years ago when I was really struggling with my own faith and just watching it shift and change in a lot of ways. And I needed people to talk to about it. And so I had this group, and we actually called ourselves Anamkara. And we were meeting together pretty regularly. And then during COVID, we had to shift, but we would meet around a fire pit and just have like honest, raw conversation about faith and life. It was such a beautiful gift. They held me accountable. They could share new perspectives. They could offer empathy. They could leave room for my wonderings and my struggles. They extended grace that I couldn't always seem to give myself. They were okay to sit in silence when there weren't answers, which there usually aren't. They sharpened my faith. I think of Proverbs 27, iron sharpens iron. Our faith would kind of rub together or hit together and create a sharpening and a change. They challenged me in all the right ways. We don't meet regularly anymore, but they are still a huge part of my life. I still have my Anamkara, and my faith would not be what it is today without them. And I have a couple of other soul friends, some of whom I rarely get to see, one of whom I don't even get to talk to all that often. They're seminary friends and they serve as pastors in other states. And yet, when we get together or when we talk, there's like this immediate built trust. There's immediate depth. There's a sense of warmth in the company of someone who truly sees me and desires the best for my life and my faith journey. To me, this is how you know when you have an Anamkara. You just sense something sacred when you are engaging together in conversation in life. Friends, we aren't meant to go it alone. Certainly, we have a friend in Jesus, as the familiar hymn goes, and that is amazing, but God knows that we also need a physical presence, or at least a physical voice, of people in front of us to uphold us on the daily. So I thank God for the gift of Anamkara in my life and in yours. Or if that's something you are missing, let's talk. Let's talk and make sure that you can find your own Anamkara, because they are crucial for life and faith. But for now, a few questions for reflection. Number one, if you have one or two Anamkara people in your life, share a little about who they are. Number two, if you haven't already, share what it is about this particular person or these people that you are drawn to. What is it that they bless you with in your time together? Number three, if you haven't already, talk about how they have sharpened or challenged your faith. And number four, not everybody can be your Anamkara. That's okay. If everybody was a soul friend, there probably wouldn't be time for any depth with any of them. So what other kinds of relationships do you have that are important for your faith development? And finally, let's close together in a prayer. God, we thank you for our Anamkara, serving as tangible signs of your love in our lives. For those who strengthen, challenge, and uphold us, who maybe even carry the torch of faith for us when we can't at the moment. Help us to show up for one another, to be Anamkara even as we received the gift of Anamkara, and to be on the lookout for those around us who maybe still need a soul friend. In Jesus' name, amen.